Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text number 9. Janma karma tu me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha yaktva deham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Prabhupada's purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead, he is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial. And there is a risk of returning to this material world. For the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam, achutam, anadim, anandarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurakto Bhakta Vyapi Ridyantar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional state of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can without a doubt attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tadvana Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. And this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva vidivati mrityumeti nanyat panta vidite yanaya. One can attain the perfect state of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Shveta Svatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not obtain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge and this way obtain perfection. Dhamma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyatvadeham punarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarna. So here it mentions that it's very easy to understand Krishna. So that we have to believe that there is a Krishna, and then all our problems are solved. Unfortunately, it's not so easy to believe that there is a Krishna. To actually accept Krishna in truth, tatvataha. Tatvataha. So tat means that in Sanskrit. And tatva, the nature of that, tatvamasi. To understand what the nature of something is, that's called tattva. So to understand Krishna's nature, we have to understand his birth and activities. And to understand his birth of activities, Prabhupada uses two words here, faith and knowledge. So faith means shraddha, and shraddha comes from the Sanskrit word, can be broken up many ways, sad and da. So wherever we put our attention, that's what we get an experience of. That's quite reasonable. Wherever we focus our concentration, we'll get some experience in that particular area. If we focus it on anything mundane, then we'll find out about that mundane subject. We want to find out about, for instance, here people are quite enthusiastic about, say, rugby. So they'll hear about rugby, they'll play rugby, they'll talk about rugby, they'll go to the playing field, smell what rugby is like, and therefore they'll become absorbed in rugby. And they'll, whatever experience comes with becoming absorbed in rugby, that's what they'll have. Or if you want to get absorbed in watching the movies, there's so many movies, you can get that experience too. Or reading newspapers, or watching television, seeing videos, or gambling, whatever you want. If whatever we put our attention to, we'll get a taste, an experience of that. And then we'll find out, for better or worse, what it's like. And obviously, some people stick with some things and become very expert at it. Other people just try one thing after another. But in any case, people have some faith in whatever they're into. Otherwise, they wouldn't be into it. So similarly, Krishna consciousness requires a different, more profound faith. It requires not superficial faith, but faith mixed with knowledge. In other words, a transcendental knowledge about Krishna. We're supposed to direct our consciousness. We're supposed to apply our consciousness with knowledge. Just like Prabhupada writes, that religion without philosophy is simply sentiment, simply fanaticism. Many religious people nowadays, they write very enthusiastic about their particular religion, but they don't know anything about it. There's no philosophy behind it. Something like, you know, accept Jesus in your heart, and that's it. That's all they know. What it means to accept Jesus in your heart, who Jesus is, what it means to accept him, they have no idea what it means to accept him in their heart, or who Jesus is, or what. But they're fanatic about it. You have to accept Jesus in your heart. But they don't even know what it means. And others may say that, you know, other fanatic philosophy, you know, this is the only way, Allah is the only, whatever their very superficial philosophy is. But the import of what Lord Jesus Christ said, what Muhammad Ali said, Muhammad said, what so many different persons said, the depth of what they said to apply it within their lives, like Prabhupada used to say, Lord Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. But the Christians are very expert at killing. they killed so many animals. But still they say we've accepted Jesus, but we won't accept his teachings. Now how can you accept Jesus if you don't accept his teachings? Jesus we like, we just don't like what he taught. That we'll accept him in our heart as long as he doesn't bother us with his teachings. So this is called fanaticism. Sentiment, just plain sentiment. Or philosophy without religion is also just dry speculation. There are many academians, they analyze Bhagavad Gita and at so many books, they go through the Govinda Lilamrita or the Krishna Karanamrita and they analyze it and they come up with their speculative theories about what's going on. So that is also useless, just dry speculation. No devotion, they won't perform any service to Krishna, but they'll analyze every word he says according to their scholastic mental speculations. So that's also worthless. So we should understand what Krishna says, and then we should apply it in our life. We should find out what Krishna is actually saying, what he wants us to do, and then when we do it, then we can actually say that we're involved in the process of Krishna consciousness. But if we find out everything Krishna says and then we find out we don't like what Krishna says, we'd rather follow, you know, our favorite rock star, or we may follow our favorite movie star or our favorite mental speculator, philosopher, because we don't really like what Krishna says. Then it may be very difficult to understand what Krishna really said. That one can only experience what Krishna said if one applies that within one's life in a practical way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say, just like someone licking the bottle of a jar of honey, you may lick the bottle very nicely, but you won't be able to taste what the honey is. So similarly, by mental speculation, we can't understand what Krishna said. It's only when we try to follow what Krishna says that we can understand it. But if we don't hear what Krishna says, then how can we follow what he said? And if we follow what he says without hearing what he said, without trying to understand what he said, how can we get anywhere? So one has to examine what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, try to assimilate the knowledge and then apply it within one's life. And it says here, that way, and what does Krishna say? What does he emphasize? Loving service to him. That we should try to serve him out of love, bhakti. And that, of course, can be analyzed what that means. That we have to understand who Krishna is, how he's the proprietor of everything, for instance. There may be different stages in that love. It is not that suddenly we can come to the stage of Mahaprabhu and love Krishna and great feelings of separation constantly. Therefore, we have to understand some basic principles. Just like it says here, Krishna has many forms, so this is also his pastime. If we can't understand Krishna's pastime in this world, which is right before us, how are we going to understand Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, which is infinitely more subtle and far, far away from us? So first of all, one has to understand how Krishna is in everyone's heart. And that Krishna is in everyone's heart, not that, oh, he's just a super soul. We have nothing to do with the super soul. Low class super soul. Super soul. We're only interested in Krishna's rasa, Leela with the gopis. Super soul. Oh, wow. So low class. Now we can understand that that same super soul is Krishna. Even Krishna Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarabhutistitam yomam bhajanye katmamastita sarvatavatmanon opi nasa bhuya bhijayate. Now the one who can see that the super soul and I are one, who dwell in all living entities, worships me and remains always in me in all circumstances. So unless we can understand that Krishna is already in our heart, he's the heart of all living entities, and he's trying to speak to us, and that we should listen to him. Not that we don't have time to listen to the super soul. We're too busy trying to find out about Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. No, if we can't hear Krishna's right in our heart, how are we going to understand what he's doing in Vrindavan? Therefore, we have to hear from Krishna, and Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. The same super soul who's in our heart spoke Bhagavad Gita. And we, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, then we can hear about the super soul. And here Krishna is saying that we should understand him in truth. That this world is also part of Krishna's world, and this world is meant to be utilized. Whatever, now that we're in the material world, we're supposed to utilize this world in his service, give back, or agree to utilize whatever energies we presently have and utilize them in his service. And as we'll find out, that we have to believe that there is a God. Before we can start finding out about Krishna's intimate pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, first we have to believe that he is God, that he's the proprietor of this world that we're living in, that everything here is meant for his pleasure, and that he is our real friend, that we don't have a better friend than Krishna is. But not that Krishna, he wants to take everything we have away from us, and he's not going to give us anything back. He's asking us to surrender everything. Once we surrender, he goes, tough luck, you're out of luck. No, he's actually our real friend. He wants us to utilize our energies in his service for our benefit, and that there's nothing but Krishna's energies. There's nothing but an opportunity to serve Krishna. And his principal service in this age, of course, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aigai Guru Tara Amara Aigai Guru Hanatare Desh. That whoever you meet, you try to tell them about Krishna. It is not that there's anyone in this world who's not Krishna's servant, or any living entity who's not Krishna's servant. So one has to see that every opportunity to serve Krishna by somehow or another trying to help people become Krishna conscious. Because Prabhupada has set up a society where that's going on, where there's deities here, so that people can see the deity, see Krishna. It is not that the super soul and the deity are different, they're all the same. Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Ayodhya, Krishna in the deity form, Krishna in our heart, they're all the same personality as mentioned here, and there are just different opportunities to serve him. So deity worship, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, living in a holy place, or making one's wherever one lives into a temple by worshiping Krishna there. That these are opportunities to serve Krishna. These are very powerful ways of serving Krishna. And if we do it patiently and confidently, with knowledge by hearing, because unless we hear, then how will we understand any of these things? And then if we do it enthusiastically, we come to the platform of enthusiasm, that is, not with our fingers crossed. Yes, I'm worshiping Krishna, but I don't really believe in him, but somehow or another I wound up here by some reason or another. And who knows how long I'll be here, and I have so many things to do, I don't even know why I'm here, but somehow I'm here anyhow. And we might as well, you know, chant Hare Krishna, and whatever happens, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll merge in the void someday, or the light will come on me, or the good fairy will come down and bless me, and suddenly I'll get my whatever I wanted, or something might happen good. No, we have to understand what is the process, what we should expect from chanting Hare Krishna, and then if we do it enthusiastically, with some patience and confidence, then the result is that we should gradually become conscious of Krishna. That's our whole purpose. That's what we're here for, is to become aware of Krishna. If we're here for something else, Krishna may or may not give us that something else, but we won't become conscious of Krishna. And if we don't become conscious of Krishna, then we'll have to come back trying to, you know, enjoy or experience something else other than Krishna. But the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is simply to become aware of Krishna. And the only way of becoming aware of Krishna is to come to the platform of agreeing to be his servant, to agree to follow his direction. As long as we don't want to follow his directions, then the result is that Maya will cover us over and we'll have this false ego, that I'm something separate from Krishna. Krishna is someone far, far away, very difficult to understand where Krishna is. He may be in the spiritual world, he may be in Vrindavan, but who knows where he really is. No, actually Krishna is very close to us, and he's in the heart. By here Ananta Chabudanam, Acharya Charyam Eva Cha, Sukshmat Vat Tadvigayam Dharastam Tandrike Chatat, Choti Samapitaj Jyotish Tamasam Param Uchate, Gyanam Gyayam Gana Gamyam Vri Sarvasavishtita. Anta Bahirananta, he's within and without. Bahirananta Chabudanam, Acharya Charyam Evacha, both in the moving and non moving beings. Sukshmat Vatadvigayam Dharasam Tandrikejuta. Yeah, he's beyond the power of the senses to see. He's so subtle, he's beyond the power of the senses to see. He's far, far away, but he's also very near to all. He's the light in all luminous objects. He's beyond the power. Jyoti Samapitaj Jyoti Tamasam Param Uchite. He's beyond the darkness of matter. His knowledge, he's the object of knowledge, he's the goal of knowledge, he's situated in everyone's heart. So Krishna is our friend, he's our guide, and we have to come in contact with him through the process of devotional service. The more we can take up the process of devotion, the more we understand what the process of devotion is, the more we can manifest devotion, then we'll be able to understand that Krishna is our friend and guide within our heart, and that he has a mission here. His mission is to help people become Krishna conscious. Then the symptom is that we take up the mission, that we try and find out what our part of the mission is, how to become an instrument of Krishna, and that's what we become, an instrument for Krishna. Whatever our circumstances, wherever we are, we think that whatever I'm doing, this is what Krishna wants me to do, and it's confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and that's what I'm doing, to please Krishna. Then the result is we'll actually make progress towards Krishna consciousness. But if we think Krishna consciousness is just something you do once in a while when you feel bad to make you feel a little bit better, or it's something you can go by and you can find out how to, acquire a few devotional tips so that you can make your life a little bit better, or it's interesting to find out these books are pretty unusual, interesting reading once in a while, a little curious to find out what's going on in heaven or in Vaikuntha or in hell. So if we have just a little curiosity, that's good. If we have a little faith in Krishna, that's good, but we won't become very Krishna conscious. So one has to learn the science of Krishna consciousness, and then with determination try to apply it gradually, a little bit at a time within one's life, and then progressively, if we please Krishna, if he's convinced of our sincerity, then he'll gradually reveal the fact that he exists. And the more we find out that Krishna exists and how he exists, how he's really in everyone's heart, that everyone is actually a temple for Vishnu, and that everything is actually spiritual, and therefore I have to have the proper mentality all the time, not just once in a while, but all the time be conscious of Krishna and work for Krishna, then the result is that we'll make substantial progress in our awareness of Krishna, and one day we'll be able to meet Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj, when chanting Japa, it's said that to become attentive chanting Japa when you haven't got an attraction for it, that's actually a great struggle to do that. What's the actual extent of that great struggle?
Great struggle is because we think it's something, we don't follow the process. That's why it's a great struggle. We're just chanting Hare Krishna as if it's some kind of impersonal mantra. Just get our rounds done. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We try and pay attention, but there's nothing to pay attention to. Just the sound of our monotonous voice chanting a monotonous mantra. Let me pay attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's quite a struggle. Hare Krishna, my mind's wandering. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, wow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ah. my mind, look at this. attention, my mind, attention. Ah, we got the mind together. It's focused. Krishna, Krishna. No, because we're fighting our mind. That's the problem. We're chanting some monotonous mantra that no one's attracted to. Everyone wish we'd keep, chant a little slow, more softly. We're listening to it. That sounds horrible. It sounds like I'm suffering. My God, this is love of God. This is suffering. So we're listening to this horrible mantra we're chanting. The sound of our voice, which is, putting us in anxiety, just listening to our own voice, suffering, trying to pay attention. Our minds wander. Look here. Wow, look at that. Remember this? Yeah, that looks interesting. Why don't I just suddenly get my mind away from this horrible chanting? Anything. Maya, send something quick. No, therefore we have to pay attention to, we have to perfect the chanting, not the paying of the attention of ourselves. We have to pay attention. But what? We have to pay attention to our chanting. In other words, we have to improve the chanting. Then if we improve the chanting, then we'll have something to pay attention to. So if we're chanting out of love, then naturally we want to listen to it because it'll sound very nice. And if we're chanting inattentively, without really asking Radha and Krishna to engage us in their service, then what is there to pay attention to? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, somewhat.
If we're asking, my dear Krishna, my dear Srimati Radharani, if we're asking very lovingly, trying to ask more and more lovingly to engage us in his service, then we have something to pay our attention to improve our chanting, the quality of our chanting, to make it more feeling. Then we have something to pay attention to. But if we just pay attention to, a monotonous drone, or something like snake snake round round day 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 hey kitty kitty hey kitty kitty snake snake round round day 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 hey kitty kitty hey kitty kitty. What is there to pay attention to? What value is there to pay attention to that? But if we're chanting very lovingly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then naturally we'll remember Krishna. So we're actually trying to ask Krishna and Srimati Radharani to engage in the service. Naturally, we'll remember them. And then we'll try and improve the quality of our loving feeling. And the more we do that, the more they'll reveal themselves. Their name, their form, their quality, their pastimes. Everything will gradually be spontaneously remembered. Then it'll be very interesting to chant Hare Krishna. And then naturally, we'll pay attention. So if we try to improve the quality of our chanting, then naturally our remembrance and the quality of our hearing will improve too. But if we just try to improve the quality of our hearing without improving the quality of our chanting, it won't work very well. Nor will the remembrance be very good. We'll remember millions of things except for Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
We should
try
to pay attention to the sound, and
they
could think of Krishna
when chanting. You didn't hear a word I said. No, we shouldn't pay the sound. No, we should chant to Krishna. There's nothing. If it was so simple that you just sat there, and just try to meditate upon Krishna, we wouldn't have to chant Hare Krishna. If we were in Satya Yoga, we'd just sit there and meditate on Krishna. But if we sit there and try and meditate on Krishna, our meditation will last around 2.5 seconds. Then our mind will wander to something else, and we'll forget what we were doing in the first place. We have no power in this age. just to meditate upon Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna, no, we have no power to do it. So it's useless trying to do that because we couldn't do it. On the other hand, if we just chant Hare Krishna and we don't think of Krishna, then that's also useless. Because we're not becoming aware of Krishna, then where is the consciousness of Krishna? Therefore, we have to chant Hare Krishna and ask Krishna to engage, and Srimati Radharani to engage us in their service, their loving service. But if we don't believe in Krishna, we don't believe in Srimati Radharani, and we don't even know what their loving service is, then why would we bother asking us to engage, ask them to engage us in it? Therefore, we have to study the books, we have to perform service in a loving way, and then gradually Krishna will reveal to us what their loving service means, and then we'll ask them for it. We'll become more sincere in asking Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in that service once we find out what it is. But in the meantime, even if we don't know what it is, we should chant Hare Krishna asking Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in a loving service. And in order to do that, we should chant more and more lovingly. We try and improve the quality, the feeling of our chanting, and naturally when we hear it, we'll become attracted to listen to it. Then all right, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this is so horrible, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I wish I wasn't chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hey Ram, Ram Ram, Hey Ram, Ram Ram, Hey Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hey Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hey Ram, Ram. So we're chanting it just, you know, like that, and where's the question of becoming Krishna conscious? So we have to improve the quality, we have to concentrate on improving the quality of the chanting. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I have to improve the quality of our chanting and just examine what the quality of my chanting is. Is it loving? Is it, how loving is, am I asking Krishna? Am I believing that Krishna and his name are not different? Therefore, I'm asking Krishna and Radharani to engage me in their loving service. And is my love doing it? Is my love increasing while I'm chanting? And if we try and increase our feeling, then naturally our intention will be there also. Just to try to remember what we're doing, how to chant properly, will require full attention. Is that clear?
So, what are the symptoms of those who can understand with loving feeling?
You become happy. You know, if you're trying to chant with loving feeling, you won't be. Naturally, you're in charge, you're becoming aware of what your consciousness is, where your consciousness is, and how nicely you're chanting, and who you're chanting to, whether you're actually chanting to Krishna. Just like if you're asked, you know, ask someone, can you please pass the soul? See, you'd have to have some faith that there's a person there who could pass the soul. Is there any? Not that you just, you know, throw out some words in the air and think, well, maybe, you know, there's a person there, I'm not really so sure. We'll see what happens, whether you can pass the soul or not. So if you're talking to someone, you didn't really believe they exist, and you say, you know, can you give me the harmonium? But if I said, you know, can you give me the harmonium? No one knows where he's talking to. So if we're asking Krishna, we believe that there is a Krishna, engage me in your service, we actually have faith in him, and we actually want to engage in his service, then we'll ask him. And then automatically, we'll be engaged in his service to the extent that we have faith in him. But if we just think it's some kind of sound, just that I got to get 16 rounds done of the sound as quickly as possible, so somehow or another I can go on with my real business, whatever I think that is, then we'll chant 16 rounds, we'll never remember Krishna even one time during that whole time. Because we won't have any faith that, you know, but we're talking to Krishna. We're asking Krishna. We're asking Srimati Radharani. And that they can hear us and that they'll reciprocate. We'll just think it's some sound vibration that we're dealing with. But if we believe that it is Krishna, it is Srimati Radharani, and they exist on the platform of love and devotion, and that if I chant with love and devotion, the more I do that, the more consistently throughout the whole day, the more I engage in the loving service, and the more intensely when I'm chanting japa or a kirtan or any other time, then the more with faith and devotion I'll chant. Faith and knowledge, it says there. Anything else? Yes.
Some devotees, they like to look at pictures of Krishna, Lord Arjuna. So I don't want to change it. Is that distracting, or could it be?
Probably. But probably you won't chant very well.
Could it be beneficial as well, because you're actually thinking of Krishna when you're chanting?
Maybe.
Yeah. But it's very remedial, so.
No, there's not. It's better looking at pictures of Krishna than other things. When you're chanting, it's looking at a tree, you know. I figure what kind of tree it is. But if you chant Hare Krishna, if you believe that Krishna, if you can see that there is Krishna, and you chanted the picture, but it's very hard to do. We can hardly do one thing at a time. We'll just do two things at a time. Of course, we have these pictures because we can chant to the picture. But the problem is if we cease paying attention to the chanting, trying to improve our chanting, and just look at the picture, that won't be very good. So we keep in mind we have to use our intelligence to chant better and better with more and more devotion. Then it's all right. But if we get distracted by the picture, you know, oh, there's a picture there, and there's another picture, and we start, you know, imagining things that go in the picture, and thinking we're doing very nicely because our rounds are getting done, and we didn't have to, you know, it wasn't so much anxiety trying to concentrate my poor little mind on the holy name, you know, bruise my little mind with the sound vibration trying to concentrate on it. At least I diverted by looking at these pictures of Krishna, imagined so many things about these pictures, and somehow or another my rounds got done without so much anxiety today, so I made some progress. No, we have to use our intelligence and learn how to chant very nicely. So with or without the picture, we'll remember Krishna. As I used to say, you know, when we're chanting Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, we have no problem. When we chant Mickey Mouse, we have no problem remembering a mouse. Isn't that right? If I asked you what is the form, quality, and pastimes of Mickey Mouse, you would have no problem. But if we, you know, try and do the same thing with Krishna, we have a big problem, you know, because we don't believe in Krishna. We have more faith sometimes in Mickey Mouse than we do in Krishna. Therefore, we have to ask Krishna, ask Srimati Radharani, in a loving way, because that is the process, to engage us in their service, and then their form, their quality, the pastimes will be revealed to us. What is their name? Their form, their quality, their pastimes, their loving exchanges, that will be revealed. And then we'll have faith in the holy name. But, you know, the pictures are nice because they're windows into the spiritual world, but we have to, the holy name is also. We have to learn how to chant nicely. Otherwise, just looking at pictures won't be very effective. Just like deity worship is not effective in this age without the holy name. So the holy name is a basic principle. We have to perfect our chanting. We have to improve our chanting, at least the quality and the consistency of our chanting. Then the pictures will have some meaning to us. They will see that this is Krishna in the picture. It's not just some picture. We're looking at the picture and saying, you know, this is a picture, and they're looking at us thinking, wow, hope they wake up someday. These are windows into the spiritual world, full of loving devotees. Yes. Well, you don't know what service is. Service is love and devotion. Bhakti. So we should do our service very nicely, but we should find out what Krishna wants us to do. There's no such thing as too much service. If we're engaged in so many activities without Krishna consciousness, it's not service. It's too much, but it's not service. It's just called prayasas, over-endeavor. That's the cause of fall down from Krishna consciousness. That's not Krishna consciousness. You can't claim that because I'm doing so many things like a whirlwind, therefore, you know, it's too much service. No, it's not service at all. Service to Krishna means in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how is it service to Krishna? So if I'm feeling morose, that's not the sign of Krishna consciousness. That's the sign of being in Maya. Being joyful is the sign of being in Krishna consciousness. And the result of performing service to Krishna should be Krishna consciousness. But if we're performing service for some other reason, that's not Krishna consciousness. We won't be in Krishna consciousness. We'll be in some other consciousness. But we can't blame Krishna for that. Krishna, I'm doing so much service to you, I'm in Maya. That doesn't make any sense. The more service I do for you, the deeper in Maya I'm becoming. If it's actually for Krishna, then we'll be in Krishna consciousness. Then there won't be too much service. It's not that Hanuman's thinking, I better not do too much service or Ram because I'll be in Maya. Therefore, service Prabhupada has given us. He didn't say just work. He said, come to class, hear about Krishna. Study my books enough so that whatever you're doing, you'll remember Krishna. It's not like, you know, this society will be spread by simply some mundane effort. It'll be spread when the devotees are happy in Krishna consciousness. So unless we become conscious of Krishna, where is there a question spreading Krishna consciousness? I'm working so hard to spread Krishna consciousness, but I have no idea who Krishna is or how to become conscious of him. Does that make any sense? No, we'll only actually work to spread Krishna consciousness when we become conscious of Krishna, and then we'll find out what we're trying to spread. So we have to hear it sufficiently, and then we have to practice. Then we'll become conscious of Krishna. But if I'm doing a lot of work, but no consciousness of Krishna, then I better reorganize my life so I'm doing my work in consciousness of Krishna. Otherwise, I'm missing the point. Anything else? That's the beginning, yes. One who sees me everywhere and sees every being in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So we have to understand. First, we have to acquire a philosophical vision on things that lead us to devotional, that a philosophical vision on that lead that encourages us to perform every activity we're doing out of devotion to Krishna. So a devotional philosophy on life that sees everything as an act of devotion to Krishna. Then as the more we apply that, then the more we'll make progress in realizing what that devotional conception of life really is. So we have to hear enough to acquire a devotional conception in all circumstances and apply it. And then our devotion to Krishna will increase. So if we're chanting japa, the main thing in this age, which is the process of experiencing Krishna directly, and we don't have a devotional conception of chanting japa, but we're trying to increase our devotion, then we won't go very far in devotional service. We can't chant Hare Krishna with some feelings, with some knowledge, with understanding what the process of chanting is, where it should lead into a spontaneous remembrance by Krishna's mercy of his form, his qualities, pastimes. We don't understand that. Artificially, we're trying to remember as if the holy name wasn't sufficient, as if asking Krishna and Srimati Radharani wasn't sufficient. We do it in a loving way for them to reveal their form, their quality, and their pastimes. But we have to force them. All right, you're not doing it. I'm going to force you. I'm going to buy my remembrance. Rawr! I got you. We got them. They're in my mind now. I remember them. Where did they go? No, that kind of forcing Krishna to appear within our mind, even forcing remembrances. You know, I'm going to memorize this holy name, I'm going to remember that, memorize this pastime. Where would the devotion, the feeling, the surrender be? I got to force Krishna to appear in my mind.